Good morning. Such a pleasure to be here. I'm pretty much stoked today. And I know some of you are not really seeing a side that gets anxious and intense, but it may happen today. Feeling pretty good. Things are going well. There's a couple of things. I've already made the announcement, so I just want to couple things that are on my heart I want to mention before we get started. First and foremost, thank you to all the men that came out yesterday. It was a great, great day. We were thoroughly pleased with everything. Thanks for all the guys, especially guys from the other churches that attended, for the cooking. Some good manja time, you know. It's fantastic. So again, all the guys that are here, the other churches, the Lord will bring it to them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Today, we're going to dig into the book of Ezekiel, chapter 27, verses 1 to 36. What? Somebody's talking, but Linda, okay, never mind. Ezekiel 27, 1 through 36, how the mighty has fallen. Such a pleasure, such a blessing, such an honor to be here. And I count it all joy that I get to stand before you and proclaim what the Lord has for us, each and every one of us, collectively and individually. He has something to say, and I just pray that all hearts and all ears will be open to receive his word. Just listen to the word and ignore the man behind the curtain. So Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for how you just continue to pour out your blessings on us well beyond measure. And I'm so thankful that I can truly say with my very heart, from the core of my heart, that I will praise the Lord at all times. May his name always be on my lips. And I say that in a sincere manner, Father, because as I'm just learning what a great God we serve, what an awesome God we serve. And I thank you for the worship that's gone up, Father. As the incense lingers, I know it's rising up to you even now. So we're just so grateful for all that you've done in our lives and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And we just want to love you more. We just want to be that light, that salt that you've called us to be. And I pray, Father, that every word that we utter and every deed that we do may edify you and you alone. May it glorify you in all ways, Father. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be called your friends. We give you praise and honor even now. So again, please turn your Bibles and your apps to Ezekiel 27. Lord willing, we'll get through these 36 verses. It's usually a challenge, but that's okay. The Lord knows. Ezekiel 26 gives us the prophecy, God's prophecy concerning the destruction of Tyre. And we saw that God's prophecy was fulfilled. The ruins of Tyre stand today as an example of the accuracy of God's word. Tyre was an impressive city in Ezekiel's day, and he spoke of the fact that this great city would fall. Ezekiel equates Tyre to a great ship that is wrecked. What was it that brought Tyre down? Some of us already know the answer. Some of us are familiar with the word that we refer to as pride. Some of us maybe not so much. For one reference, we can go back to the book of Genesis as to what caused this nation, this city, to fall. What caused this huge collapse of the Jerusalem? We'll see as we go through this. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came again to me saying, now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre. Ezekiel 26:17 says, and they will take up a lamentation for you and say to you, how you have perished, O one inhabited by seafaring men, O renowned city, who was strong at sea, she and her inhabitants, who caused their terror to be on all her inhabitants. In Ezekiel 28:12 says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And say to Tyre, you who are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchants of the people on many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty." I'm going to challenge you as we read this about Ezekiel's time that you allow your mind to go out and think about nations that have fallen. I challenge you to think about nations that are falling. And I'm not going to plant any ideas in your head as to where, what, when, and why. But just think about what's going on around us. There's a lot going on around us. Yes, sir, three bags full. And it's tragic. Lord, what do you want me to do? And it says that Tyre was brought down by the same thing that brought down the city of Petra. Some of you may not be familiar with some of this terminology, but it's in the word. Obadiah 1:3 tells us, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rocks, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground?" Arrogance. There are nations among us, around us, that are arrogant to that extent, and they exist today. So these things are not just for that time. What the Lord has told us then, if we can allow it to penetrate our hearts and our minds, these things are still going on around us. Nothing new under the sun. Pride is what brought this magnificent city down. Pride in the glory and prosperity is what has brought many great nations of the world and reduced them to ruins. Can you picture that? Can you picture a nation that's being brought to ruins because of pride? Pride of glory, pride of prosperity. Think on these things. Verse 4, "Your borders are in the midst of the seas. Your billows have perfected your beauty. They made all your planks of fir trees with sinar. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. And the planks of these fir trees were from sinar, which is the area where Amorites designated as Mount Hermon." Verse 6, "Of oaks from Bashan, they made your oars. The company of Asherites have inlaid your planks with ivory from the coast of Cyprus, the best of the best, cream of the crop, luxurious, beauty, glory." But where were their hearts? They saw these things around them. They saw all this beauty. They saw all this gloriousness. But where were their hearts? The Asherites were the Syrians who were skilled woodworkers, and they only took the best of the best. Everything that they had had to be professional, had to be perfect, had to be a thing of beauty in the end. Isaiah 2:12-13, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty." Proud, pride, proud and lofty. There is only one high and lofty one. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other. And we can't fabricate it. We can't build beautiful things. We can't create beautiful things. We don't create at all, actually. We can't generate or manufacture these things because the Lord is the only one. "Upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low." Everything. He made no exceptions. "Upon all the cedars of Lebanon, they are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan." Zechariah 11:2 says, "Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, because the mighty trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has come down." If you pay real attention to these words that the Lord is using or will use throughout this message, you will notice that none of these are terms of endearment. These are all things that the Lord is seeing. And he's saying, you left your first love. We as a nation, you determine, have we? Only he knows. Verse 7, fine embroidered linen from Egypt was what you spread for your sail. Blue and purple from the coast of Elisha was what covered you. Elisha was believed to be in Cyprus at that time, and that could be a factor as we go along. Inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen. Your wise men, O Tyre, were in you. They became your pilots. These were the guys that, the people that guided the ships. 9, elders of Gebal and its wise men were in you to caulk your seams. All the ships of the sea and their oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. It was all about filthy lucre. That's all that really mattered. They weren't concerned about instilling the word of God in the people. The people that Ezekiel had communicated with earlier in earlier chapters, they had a huge problem with idolatry. They had a huge problem with harlotry. So God brought in 70 of the finest to stem this tide. He brought in the high priest. He brought in the priests. Great numbers. Okay, we'll stem this tide. Although God knows, God knew what was going to happen. As it turned out, these men created their own den of iniquity. These were people that he thought would bring about the word of God, people that would encourage them to honor God, to be the light, be the salt. It didn't pan out. God wasn't surprised. He knew this. Nothing surprises him, so he's well aware of what was happening, what was going to happen. But it was disappointing to us as humankind to see that he brought in the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and they failed miserably. Failed in the sense that they didn't honor him. These were the people that he had given much, much, and they gave very little or nothing at all. It's kind of sad, but if we look around us today, we can see that. We can see people of God that are talking a great game, but their walk is with a limp at best. Don't put your trust in man, regardless of who that person is. We will fail you. We will let you down. We have great intentions, but we're still wrapped in flesh. So there's some frailties in each and every one of us. Honor God, and he'll honor you. Verse 9. Elders of Gebal and its wise men were in your caucus. Just seems I read this already, but I just want to have that flow into the next part. All the ships of the sea and their oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. And it's important to know that Gebal was north of what's today called Beirut. And these are the names of the participants in commerce with Tyre. They had reached far and wide to do everything that they could, anything they could get their hands on to create luxury, to create beauty. And we're in a situation now for you people who watch and follow the news. We're reaching far and wide for the countries, the cities, the nations that can offer us things to make this land more beautiful. But unfortunately, that's what we're focusing on. Is the word of God coming through in any of that? Most of the time it isn't. It is not. We're focusing on commerce. We're focusing on our image. We're focusing on increasing the bank accounts. So we're losing track of what is really important. Men of Arvad with your army were on the walls all around, and the men of Gamad were in your lowers, in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They made your beauty perfect. A lot of emphasis on the word perfect. A lot of emphasis on the word beauty. When we make a priority of that over the things of God, then we got problems. God says, you shall have no other God before me. If you do, that borders on, well, it's not the border, it's actually idolatry. And I've said it before and I will say it again, that it doesn't really matter if it's an inanimate object. It doesn't matter if it's a person. It doesn't matter if it's a relationship. God will take it away. He'll either remove you from it or remove it from you. And there's no limit. He has no limitations. You have this wife that you've made an idol. God will take you away or her away. You have this husband that you created an idol. Now he's more important than anything. God will separate. He will cause spiritual growth through separation. We need to be conscious of that, because some of us have a problem with what we consider God's love. Some of us think in terms of God's love as long as he's pacifying my flesh, it's love. When he takes away someone that I love, that's not love. You're wrong. God is sovereign. The same God that blesses you is the same God that chastens you. And you must be willing to accept one thing with the other. Why would a loving God allow my grandmother to go so soon, so early, at the vast age of 93? Why would God allow that? She was such a loving person. God saw things that you could never see. God saw what she was going into. God saw your grandfather going into a season, an era that was not beneficial from our vantage point. But we want them to hang around. For us, they're hurting. They have no real desire to continue, but we want them to be here. So that God's love says, okay, it's their time to come home and be with me. We need to accept that. For those who've lost loved ones, for those who've lost a son or a daughter, mother, father, grandchildren that they love dearly, God has a plan in each and every one of our lives. And as far as the percentage of us that are going to leave here, 100%. Nobody gets out alive. So don't want to sound morbid, but we need to focus on the fact that God is working. No matter what, no matter when, no matter how, no matter where, God is working. We need to be conscious of that. God's love is all-consuming. So anything that you made an idol, anything you're making an idol, if it be his will, he will take it away. Be careful with that. Be careful. Verse 12, Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead for your goods. And there was a Phoenician colony that was famous for silver and skillful metalsmiths. They were Javan, Tubal, Mesech, and they were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. They bartered human lives. To those who may not be initiated, that's called slave trade. So they were trading humans even for gain, to make their cities more beautiful, to replenish the coffers in their homes or their nations. Javan was Ionia, a large area in Greece. Tubal and Mesech are in Asia Minor. They are slave trading cities. There were cities whose industry was trading slaves. Tragic. Verse 14, those from the house of Tergamah traded for your wares with horses, steeds, and mules. Tergamah is an area which is today Turkey. modern-day Turkey. 15, the men of Dedan were your traders. Many isles were the market of your hand. They brought you ivory tusks and ebony as payment. They sacrificed animals for the good of money. Anything new? Verse 16, Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. They gave you for your wares emeralds, purple, embroidery, fine linen, corals, and rubies. Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. They traded for your merchandise, wheat, minith, millet, honey, oil, and balm. The Lord saw a huge problem concerning harlotry. He saw where the women of that time, that nation, were selling themselves to the men in high authority. So we got to do something about this. So he sent out his people, and they went out, and they took the women aside. They cut off their noses. They cut off their ears. And so those women were no longer attracted to the upper crust. But that didn't deter them. That didn't stop them. They just sold themselves to the common person. The Lord says, okay, I want to send them a message that the nation is going to be destroyed. So he had Ezekiel inscribe the nation on tablets. And I want you to go in front of the people and I want you to break them. I want to send a message that I am going to destroy your nation. I'm going to break your nation. Ezekiel followed through. He was honored. He honored what the Lord had asked him to do. It didn't deter them at all. Okay. That didn't slow them up, stop them or slow them up. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to take away their source of fuel so they won't be able to bake their bread. So the people resorted to baking their bread with human waste. That was the only option they had. Did that stop them from being idolaters? Did that stop them from being harlots? The answer is no. They kept going. He tried so many things. And not that he was guessing, not that he was grabbing for straws. It's just that what is it going to take to gain their hearts? And the same question is being asked today. What is it going to take to gain your heart? What does the Lord have to do? Everybody in this room right now is blessed well beyond measure. Every single one of you. Yeah, some of us got some aches and pains. Some things are creaking, making little noises, but you're blessed. You're blessed. You're here. You're here. You get to come out and worship him. You get to come out and praise him. But there's some of us who are sitting here today, our hearts are far from where we're sitting right now. Can't judge anybody guilty. Where's your heart right now? Are you honoring the Lord in what he's called you to do? Or are you just a Christian? A regular Christian? Brother, sister, are you saved? Of course, I go to church every Sunday. That's not the answer. That's really not what it's about. You come in just before the pastor starts or the worship starts, and as soon as it's closing and amen, you're out the door. Where's the fellowship? Well, I don't really need to do that because I don't feel that's part of it. It is. Do not forsake the assembly. Well, my part of assembly is going in, listening to the word, and getting out. Do you really believe that's what he's instructing us through in the Bible? We were born, created for fellowship. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities that we get. We're missing it. When you are not there, when you're not in fellowship, two people are missing out. You and at least one other, possibly more. But when you do that, he's giving you this glory, and you're just stockpiling it. And he said, I will fill you to a point where it can't do anything but flow out onto others. We're not allowing that to happen. We're just using on ourselves. We go in and we do our private study. We do our private prayer. And as far as we're concerned, that's enough. I'm not sure if your God agrees with that. Acts 12:20 says, now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with the one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food from the king's country. They're asking for peace. Well, they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. The only time that we're going to see peace, we as a nation, we as a country, we as a world are going to see peace when the Prince of Peace returns. That's it. Hate to disillusion you, some of them thinking, oh, this man or this woman is going to straighten things out and then the world will be as it should be. Well, that's the problem. The world now is being as it wants to be. There's not a lot of light. There's not a lot of salt. And not that we want anyone to have a guilt trip, but are we doing our part? Are we doing what he calls to do? You may not get instant results. More than likely, we won't get instant results. But we need to do our part. We need to be about our Father's business. And we're not all there. Some of us don't really care to be. I do what I want for 6 days. I come to church for cleansing on Sundays, and I'm good to go. No, there's no such thing as a part-time Christian. There's no such thing as a secret agent Christian. You're a saint or you ain't. I heard that from a wise man. So we need to honor him in everything that we do and say. We need to, folks. It's not an option. 18, Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made because of your many luxury items with the wine of Helbon and with white wool. All this luxury, that seems to be the focus. Is that how your life is comprised of all just the luxury, the luxurious things of beauty? 19, Dan and Javon paid for your wares, transversing back and forth, wrought iron, cassia and cane were among your merchandise. Cassia, if you don't know, is a type of perfume. And the only upper crust had access to it or could afford it. That was one of the luxuries that they focused on. Dedan was your merchant in saddle cloths for riding. So they the best of everything. 21, Arabian, all the princes of Kedar, were your regular merchants. They traded with you in lambs, rams, and goats. So they covered all the bases. We just want the best, regardless of what it is. 22, the merchants of Sheba and Ramah were your merchants. They traded for your wares, the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Canaan, Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Assyria, and Chilmed were your merchants. They reached far and wide to get the best, everything, except the word of God. Where were the people of God? Where were the men and women who knew about the books of Acts, but not willing to live it? Where were we? These were 24. These were your merchants in choice items, in purple clothes, in embroidered garments, in chests of multicolored apparel, in sturdy woven cords, which were in your marketplace. The ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. You were filled and very glorious in the midst of the seas. And these were the large cargo carrying sea ships that sailed across the Mediterranean. Again, far and wide just to bring in things of beauty, things of luxury, things that pacified our flesh. There's a downside. "26, your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the sea." Now things are turning. This reference to many waters and this reference to the oarmen, these were professionals. They went into many waters to gather those goods, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Again, we said earlier, in this case, Tyre was, they equated that to a ship that has been wrecked. Use your imagination. What other nations have been wrecked? "27, your riches, wares, and merchandise, your mariners and pilots, your caulkers and merchandisers, all your men of war who are in you, and the entire company which is in your midst will fall into the midst of the seas on the day of your ruin." Now, I noticed that God didn't say if, he said when. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He didn't give us an option. You can say, "Yeah, brother, but I got free will." Their free will allows you to ask the question or make the statement. Who will you serve? You got a choice. You do have a choice. You do have free will. Who will you serve? "The sea, the place of Tyre's glory, will be her grave. The east wind is a picture of Babylon and its power from the east. Many, many, many nations have fallen. Many nations are falling. But God knows he has a plan through each and every one of these occurrences. Verse 28, "The common land will shake at the sound of the cry of your pilots." These are the people who are guiding your ships. "All who handle the oar, the mariners, all the pilots of the sea will come down from their ship and stand on the shore." How could this happen to a great nation like us? We had it all. We had all the beauty. We had all the glory. We had all the things that make a nation great. But we didn't have all the things that make a nation great. The thing that makes a nation great is our love for our Lord and Savior. Is that our focus? Is that our aim? Is that our goal? This is what we have to ask ourselves. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, as for me and this church, we will serve the Lord. "The common land will shake at the sound of the cry of your pilots." They will cry. And there's a rumor going around that men don't cry. I've heard it said. Verse 30, "They will make their voice heard because of you. They will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads. They will roll about in ashes." 31, "They will shave themselves completely bald because of you, gird themselves with sackcloth and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing." How could that be? How could such a great nation fall like that? Can't be. We've got all these armies. We've got all these weapons. We've got all this stuff going for us. How can that be? 32, "In their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation and lament for you. What city is like Tyre? destroyed in the midst of the sea. What city is like Tyre? Destroyed in the midst of the sea. This just doesn't make any sense. Because God has no real reason to destroy us. He has no real reason to take us down. After all, we are a godly nation. I read that somewhere. Tyre was like a great ship that had gone down at sea. One frame of reference for some of us could be the Titanic. A ship built by professionals, indestructible. Nothing can stop us. We put the best of the best. We put our best people on this ship. Indestructible. History spoke differently about that. Verse 33. When your wares went out to sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury items and your merchandise. You guys, you got great stuff. Who would not be impressed by that? Look at all this. Wow, this is beautiful. What's not to like? 34. But you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. This is a case, and we've seen it before in the Word of God, where God says, fire sale, everything must go. Well, you mean everything? How about we just say the good stuff? It's been tried before in Scripture, where we went in and the Lord said, destroy everything. And we didn't want to destroy all the good stuff, so we kept some things for ourselves. How'd that work out for him? Not so well. All will be swallowed up by the sea. All. No exceptions. 35. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid, and their countenance will be troubled. The ones in the high seat of the land are going to be afraid. Their countenance is going to hit rock bottom. What went wrong? What went wrong in our nation? What went wrong in our land? I don't understand why a loving God would do something like this. This is a metaphor of Tyre as a ship, and turns particularly to men lamenting her ruin. Their livelihood has been tied to the commerce she represents. You're affecting my wallet. You're affecting my pocketbook now. So I'm really concerned. Do you think the Lord is really concerned about your wallet and your pocketbook? After all, I read he does have a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not concerned about that. Verses 30 to 32 in this chapter describe common actions of mourning. The 36 says, the merchants among the people will hiss at you. They will become a horror and be no more forever. As always, there will be some who scorn with malicious joy. Oh, well, I'm really glad they took down that nation. Malicious joy sounds like an oxymoron. But it isn't. There will be no music blaring. There will be no laughter. There will be no sight of the gold and silver. There were broken pieces of pottery in the wreck and ruin of that once, which what has once been a great city. And the God of heaven says, I judge you. I've judged you. I looked for men and women who trusted in me, men and women who honored me, men and women who exalted me. None to be found. This is from God's perspective. We look at some people and we think, okay, well, they got it going on. He's not going to destroy them. But the word says, all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All. Who's going in? Who's not? We can't possibly know. We have to be concerned. We should be concerned about this. There must be a message and a counter-tariff for our day and for our generation. Are we accounting for the fact that this could be us? And even not us, maybe some other countries that we're familiar with that are going through this, especially those who are at war right now. Could that be them? Second Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people will call by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Our land is sick. Our land is hurting. Our land is spiritually poor. Now, one thing I do know, that God keeps his promises. And he's given us promises with conditions. I'm giving you four conditions and three promises. Will you honor those? Will you humble yourself? Will you seek my face? Are you a person of God? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you believe that from the very core of your heart? Do you believe the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God? And to some of you, well, of course I do. Because there's some who don't. There's some of us who want to convince us that we came here by other means. We were not created to serve him. We were just brought about by other methods, by chance. Do you believe that? Do you have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. I can't know. I don't need to know. I like to say that every person within the sound of my voice, every person that's sitting here today, every person that's out there, I want to believe that they do. They understand that. I want to know that you do understand what it means when it says you are perfectly loved. There are days we don't feel that way. There are days we think nobody cares. There are days when you think that, why bother? Why do I go through all of this? I'm still going through hard times. I do all these things. I pray. I read my word. But I still suffer minor afflictions. But he told us that. He told us that we were going to go through this. He told us that we were going to go through trials. He told us we're going to go through tribulations. There's some prayer warriors here. There's some true people of God, pure people of God here. But they're not exempt from the things that sin brings about. We're not exempt. We'd like to think we are. Brother, I've given my heart to the Lord, yet and still, I'm going through rough times. I have somebody in my family who doesn't love me anymore. Doesn't God care about that? Yeah, but I challenge you to ask yourself, why does he subject you to trials? Why does he subject you to these things that you don't like if he loves you so much? Because he loves you so much, that's why. There are many things that he's calling us to do, and we say, well, I don't really hear from God. He doesn't really communicate with me. Don't buy the lie, friends. He loves you. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. I know there, even today, as I look around, I see some that I know are hurting spiritually. I know this. I know some that are hurting physically. I know there are some who are struggling with mental issues. It's all around us. There's everything that can go wrong with this temple is happening right in this building today. Everything. There are relationship issues that are sitting right among us. We don't know that. We can't know that. Lord knows. There are people who are sitting here now wondering if this praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord thing is really worth it. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. Is this where you want to be? You want to be focused on beauty and luxury and large bank accounts and having all the toys? If that's your mindset, I want to challenge you to get to know him. How do I get to know the Lord? How do I get to know what he's all about? Read his word. Simple as that, friends. Well, I try to read it, brother, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, he made us a promise that when he went away, he would send a paraclete. He would send someone alongside us to guide us, to encourage us, to inspire us. That Holy Spirit is still there. It's still with you. Do you recognize it? It comes in many forms. He can't lie. He said he would send a helper, and he has sent a helper. Do you recognize that? As far as the word, he sent someone alongside you to help you to understand it. That could take so many forms. It could be somebody in your own home. They've never been given the opportunity to help you read the word. It could be the person across the street. I've only been in this neighborhood for 16 years. I'll get around to meeting them. There's some of us. What does he have for you? Do you know what he's called you to? Do you know what he's called you from? Some of us are still struggling with the things that he's trying to call us from. Let go of that. I use the analogy, well, it's not really an analogy, a vision of us trying to get to where he is, trying to go down that narrow road. But we got suitcases full of stuff. And it's very cumbersome, but we're trying to get through it with these suitcases in our hands. We're bumping and grinding, but lay it down. We need to lay that down. And some of us, most of us, I dare to say, are holding on to those things that are not beneficial for our relationship with the Lord. We're holding on to so many things that in the end don't matter. Think about what he's brought you from and say, but wait, there's more. Because he wants to deliver you. He wants to deliver you from these things. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be what Tyre was aiming for. But it's going to be good. He only gives good things. So I want to challenge each and every one of you to get to know him. The Lord is that great physician. He comes highly recommended. Trust him in everything. And it was had been and still continues to be a problem for me, because I want to trust him with the big stuff, but when it comes to the small stuff, I step back, Lord, I got this one. Nonsense. That's stinking thinking. It's not going to make it. We need to make a commitment to a personal relationship with the Lord. If you haven't yet, and you will, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, I would say, we got a few minutes. There are men and women who are willing to come up and pray with you today, right now. If it's on your heart, we're not saying that it's mandatory. If you choose to, there will be sisters and brothers standing up front to pray with you this morning. And I know some of us, a little bit shy, a little bit private. But his word says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Those are words you don't want to hear. So I beseech you, if there's any struggles going on right now, and the Lord has led you to pray, come on up. And we will pray with you. So I'm going to close. Again, it's open. Open arms and open hearts. Come on up. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for how you blessed us. And they're not words. There's not words that we have, Father. We simply overuse the word amazing, great, mighty. And those are all good, but that's pretty much all we got. We want to know your heart. We want to know your desire for our lives, each and every one of us, Father. Your desire is to bless us, not for our needs, not necessarily for our wants. We need you. The song says, I need you every hour. But as this world turns faster and faster, things are ramping up quicker and quicker. My heart says, I have to change that song. I need you every minute. I'm so thankful that I got this opportunity to share with my sisters and brothers. I pray that even if I said one word that discouraged my sister or my brother, that you would erase it from my minds even now. On the flip side, if I said one word that would encourage him, I say, thank you, Lord. Not because of this old vessel, but because of a loving God, a God who was guiding and leading throughout this whole time. So we give you honor, we give you praise for all that you are in our lives, Father. Thank you for my sisters and brothers that are coming out, willingness to lend an ear. And I pray, Father, that you were pleased. And on a personal note, I can say, standing here right now, it is well with my soul. And I am indeed overwhelmed. Thank you, Lord. We give it all to you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, our soon returning King, we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. God bless you guys.